Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
At the opening ceremony for the Beijing Olympics, it's come out that the spectacle was not exactly what it seemed. We now know that they use computer-generated images to boost the fireworks display, which they disclosed, and they had a more photogenic young girl lip-sync a song. So it wasn't exactly live, but does it matter? Does it matter if Chinese gymnasts, and that's a big if, are younger than they say, as some have suspected? Beijing has gone to great lengths to put on its best face and win the most gold medals, but it is the overtop way that they've done it. Is that particularly Chinese? Is this specifically an Asian way of approaching a public image? How is that different, potentially, than the American approach? To talk about the Olympics now and some of these cultural differences, we're joined by San Francisco Chronicle columnist and our friend here at WNYC, Jeff Yang.
Hey, Alice.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
So just your off the top of your head comments on these Olympics.
Well, you know, it's really it's hard to, as I put it to my friends, kind of stay objective here. It's the spectacle, the sort of just gigantic sense of moment that is being surrounded by all this is irresistible even for those of us who like to think of ourselves as kind of skeptical and cynical and all that stuff. And a big reason for that is because, you know, China has literally just kind of pulled out all the works. I mean, you know, $100 million for the opening ceremony. You know, the GNP of a developing country essentially spent on just kind of the dressing for this thing. And, you know, even when you actually kind of wonder at the reasons behind some of this stuff and the values that sort of underpin them, it's hard not to be a little bit, you know, impressed by that.
So, Jeff, you know, I don't necessarily associate you with being all things sports. That said, if you look at the at some of these controversies, I mean, I think people are still talking about the fact that they switched out one of the younger girls because they didn't think she was cute enough. And people are appalled by that. I mean, frankly, I still am. And yet, you know, is that a cultural difference?
You know, it's kind of funny because obviously we live in a culture ourselves, you know, here in America, where the notion of you know, putting up pretty young idols, let's say, and then getting, you know, like heavy set backup singers or something to overdub their voices is not unknown.
Fair point.
I do think it's interesting here. I mean, you know, we have to remember that for China, this is not just a sporting spectacle. This is not just an every 4 years kind of, you know, hail fellow well met, hug the world kind of thing. This is really, this is an opening ceremony not just for the Olympics that they were crafting, but for what they see as the Chinese century. So the stakes are much, much larger. And, you know, nationalism and pride and identity, there's so many things wrapped up around this that, you know, for China to have missteps occur, I mean, you know, you can almost imagine the sort of the backroom anxiety that's going on every time something even, you know, slightly goes out of whack. And this notion of face, you know, that sort of outside perception presented to the world is so critically imbued throughout, you know, how Chinese people kind of think of society and the responsibility we have to others. It's not so much about pride and you know, not being humiliated. It's really almost this duty that we have to people around us to kind of put on those best clothes to make sure that, you know, there isn't a flaw in our makeup, because, you know, that's what they expect of us, and that's the way we need to actually behave.
I mean, Jeff, I don't think that you know, as Asian Americans, I don't think that, and perhaps you agree or have a different take, but can we really overestimate what it means to China and the people to essentially host the world and to show their development and their modernization?
Well, you know, this is interesting because in a lot of ways, the Olympics is the culmination of decades of planning for China. I mean, there's so much stage managing that has gone in, even to kind of putting forth and winning this particular bid. I mean, you remember the Olympics began on 8/08/08 at 8 a.m. You know, the number 8 is sort of this, you know, sacred one in Chinese superstition. And, you know, very clearly China knew that this was the Olympics they wanted, because this is where for them it was all going to begin. You know, regarding where this places China as far as its standing in the world, I mean, China sees itself as a superpower. You know, this notion of America as kind of being the sole pole of the world is something that a lot of Chinese, even everyday Chinese, really kind of buckle under and resent. And this ability to sort of say, hey, we can do this as well as Americans can or better, is something that has just motivated people, I mean, top and down throughout the country. And you can see that especially, I think, in this whole sort of notion that this is the year that China will supersede the U.S. in gold medal mm-hmm. count. I think you probably heard about Project 119. Mm-hmm. This incredible program that China is engaged in, just sort of pouring millions into developing athletes in certain sports, like watercraft sports, track and field, swimming, where America has long had strengths, while at the same time also just, you know, kind of training athletes in more obscure events, just for the notion that this year China would have the most medals in the world, the most gold medals in the world.
I'm Alice Regan for Brian Lehrer. I'm speaking with San Francisco Chronicle columnist Jeff Yang. We're talking about the Olympics. We'd love to hear from our Asian American listeners. Give us your thoughts on these Olympics and what you're thinking about. The number here, 646-778-3729. Yes, in fact, our phones are working again. We apologize for our technical difficulties earlier. Again, at 646-778-3729. Jeff, as we look at the stagecraft of these games, from the water cube to the way that the city has been polished, and as we know, walls have been erected to hide some of the homes in the alleys and whatnot throughout Beijing, how much of the cosmetic makeover is really actually hiding some of the deeper things that the world does need to know about and have a discussion about? And maybe the Chinese government would say it's simply not the place for anyone outside China to have that discussion.
I think that probably would be the angle that the Chinese government would take. It's the angle they have taken, in fact. I think, though, that, you know, a lot of times when we look at this stuff, this sort of, you know, extreme makeover of, mm-hmm. of China and so forth, the Western press especially, sort of, you know, tries to impute some kind of conspiracy around it, you know, that it's all about, you know, some sort of nefarious plot or something to hide the sort of, you know, deep endemic ills that China has. And yeah, I mean, you know, there's definitely the sense that they don't want to show off that side of China, mm-hmm. you know. Nobody does, really, when they're hosting the rest of the world. You know, but for China, I think, in particular, and again, you're looking at the cultural view here, It's not because China's per se ashamed of it. It's because, again, they don't, you know, at least the argument they would make is they don't want to make people feel uncomfortable. You know, it's a host-guest mentality. That's mm-hmm. a lot of what mm-hmm. saving face is about. It's not just about feeling good yourself. It's about, you know, not making other people, putting other people in this spot of being kind of awkward around you.
Sure, and it's not to say that there isn't poverty in areas in this country that the government would probably want to cover up as well. We've got some callers. Margaret from Bronxville, you're on the air. Thank you.
Hi, how are you?
Hi.
I really enjoyed the show. I'm calling because I wanted to just to kind of opine on what you guys had said, that maybe this whole presentation putting, you know, two girls because you want perfection, it's more of a cultural or an Asian issue. I really don't think so. I think it's more of a remnant of a communist presentation issue. Back in the day when the Soviet bloc was powerful, the Soviet Union would often do stuff like that too, you know, pump steroids into their athletes, fake certain things because they fear a loss of face. And to me, I think it's not so much cultural as it is more of a communist remnant in terms mm-hmm. of presenting its face to the world. I mean, that's my perspective.
Great. Thanks, Margaret. Jeff, you want to weigh in?
Yeah, you know, there's definitely something to that. I mean, after all, you know, the term Potemkin Village, you know, is something that, that you know, one certainly is associated with, like, you know, the former Soviet Union. And that notion that appearance somehow supersedes reality is a theme that we've, you know, kind of heard time and again. But, you know, I think that if there's one thing that really stands out about how China does these sorts of things, really does anything, it's just a matter of scale, right? You know, it's one thing to, I don't know, you know, dust up the place and straighten the pictures before someone comes over.
Yes.
It's another to, you know, before a party, repaint, refurnish, and essentially you know, rip out all your fixtures and put in new ones. And that, I think, is what people has people kind of a little goggled here. China has gone just to the wall and back, to the Great Wall and back.
Literally.
These Olympics.
We've got another caller. Stefan from Brooklyn, you're on the air. Thanks.
Hi. Hello to your guests. Hello. I'm thinking about the articles in the press that I've been reading and listening to about the young girl singer, the various other almost National Enquirer type news that has been being put out there. And I'm beginning to think that there's a certain inherent kind of racism that has to do with this competitive nature of Americans and of the sudden rise of this, mega rise of this country, China. This is a phenomenal, astrologically big rise, and everybody is kind of taken aback by it. But I don't think that the right way to deal with it is to criticize the Chinese the way that the press have been dealing with these Olympics.
Stefan, do you have a particular example of something that you've read or seen that you think?
Well, I think the most salient one, or the most obvious one, is this little girl who got up and lip synced, and the pictures of her that actually aroused in me a sort of a feeling of disdain toward the Chinese just because this little girl was lip-syncing and that she was cute and had a smile. But the fact of the matter is that America does that all the time. And I think inherent in the American consciousness as well is the fact that Americans really want to win. They want to be better. They want to have, you know, just as any other competitive you know, sport, as a matter of fact, in the sports in general, I think. And this is an international arena.
Yeah, thanks for your call, Stefan. And Jeff, he, you know, raises a good point, something you touched on earlier. You've got lip-syncing in this country, Ashley Simpson, Pavarotti. You've got it's part of entertainment today as well.
You know, I think that's certainly true. And I think the point about this sort of American exceptionalism, that we want to win USA, USA number one, you know, that's something that always is, you know, kind of one of those awkward backdrops for the Olympics that for me, I mean, as an American, I've always been just, you know, a little creeped out about. At the same time, I mean, you know, there's something to be said for how some of those values, if they end up framing the dialogue, you know, do end up, you know, I mean, if you can call it this, I mean, China's kind of keeping up with the Joneses. You know, America's one, to a certain extent, that set the rules. You know, medal count equals, you know, some sort of global pecking order. You know, how gorgeous and spectacular the opening ceremony is equals, you know, how cultivated and sophisticated your society is. You know, stuff like that. That definitely does come out of, you know, sort of a Hollywood sensibility that America has wrapped around the Olympic Games. And you know, if China wants to be part of that same circle, you know, that circle of giants, you know, I think they have definitely felt like they need to be able to do the same sort of thing, put on that same kind of you know, a flawless, dazzling show on all counts.
I want to give our number out to our listeners again. It's 646-778-3729, 646-778-3729. I'm speaking to Jeff Yang about the Olympics and some of the cultural differences that we may or may not be seeing surfacing. And on the phone right now, John from North Bergen. Go ahead.
Yes, hi. Just a quick comment regarding the opening ceremonies. And I think we should all bear in mind that Zhang Yimou, who was behind the artistic production of it, is a genius who's noted for his grandiose cinematic spectacular films, if we can put that in its proper context. But the other thing I wanted to mention is an observation that Korean wife made the other night, which I did too. That was at the end of a gymnastics event, one of the Japanese who was contesting stumbled and failed basically in his performance, coming off the mat with a broad smile on his face. Our American TV announcers had said how inappropriate that smile, you know, after a performance like that just doesn't make sense. And she and I both well knew that in the Japanese culture in particular, Chinese and Korean, I believe also, they, in the face of embarrassment, mm-hmm. in a situation like that, it is most often the case that someone will smile. And that is not, that is just what they do. And it is just very unfamiliar to the Western cultures. And this demonstrates just the lack and the gap in understanding of the cultural differences, how a reaction like that would be appropriate to
John,
Asians.
thanks for your call, John. And that's an interesting point, Jeff, that he's making the point that his Asian American wife, you know, looked at that response and didn't think anything of it. What would you say?
You know, it's funny because I'm reminded of, you know, I have a dog, for what it's worth, and I'm reminded that when training the dog, you know, we're always told, oh, you know, when a dog looks like it's smiling, it's actually baring its teeth, you know. So there's a sort of interspecies language gap that occurs there. And I think that, you know, when you're talking about cultural difference, the Olympics is one of the few, really the very few events in which the whole world really is watching. I mean, you've got cultures, you know, from the tiniest and most obscure to the largest and most sort of world-spanning, all represented and all being kind of put on camera, you know, maybe some more than others. And I think the potential for misinterpretation of nuance is pretty profound. I mean, you know, we're seeing a lot of that. You know, I think that even things that might seem, I don't know, inconsequential or whatever to certain groups end up becoming, you know, fighting words to others. And I think one interesting example of that is the Spanish swimming team having posed for advertisements, stretching out their eyes in sort of a comical slant. They saw that, you know, from all reports, as just sort of a little poking fun, maybe even, you know, kind of an homage of sorts. And, of course, a lot of other people, Chinese in particular, have been tremendously offended by this. So yes, I do think that, you know, the Olympics are this sort of grand cultural experiment. We bring people together every 4 years and we say, hey, you know, put them in a jar and shake it up a little bit and see if they fight. And that's why a lot of these memes definitely come out. One point too about, you know, Zhang Yimou and, you know, his role as the sort of grand auteur behind the opening ceremony, which I thought was quite interesting. I mean, Zhang Yimou is the director of films like Judo, you
right.
know, like, you know, Raise the Red right. Lantern, films that in
sure.
China have been, you know.
Jeff, I'm sorry to have to cut you off there.
Sure.
Great point, though. We'll finish this discussion. I'm Alice Rhee for Brian Lehrer, and I've been speaking with our friend San Francisco columnist Jeff Yang about the Olympics. Leonard Lopate is next. Thanks so much.